Good morning and welcome to church, everyone, including visitors. Please join me in singing Come Thou Long Expected Jesus.
Congregation, our help is in the name of the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ through the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us sing to the praise of our God on this morning hour by singing from Psalter 318. 318, stanzas 2, 4, 5, and 7. 2, 4, 5, and 7. congregation on this Lord's Day morning, we hear from God's holy law. And after hearing his law, we sing together from Psalter 166, 166, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male servant nor your female servant, nor your cattle nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. So far. Let us turn in the Word of God to Luke chapter 1, and let us begin reading at verse 26. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. Luke chapter 1. Verse 26, now in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, And having come in, the angel said to her, Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke with a loud voice and said, Blessed are you among women and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imaginations of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. So far the reading of God's word. You find our text this morning in some of the verses we read, verses 46 through 55, which is known as the Song of Mary. Congregation, following the sermon, we sing from Psalter 48. We sing stanzas 1, 3, 4, and 5. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God comes to us this morning from Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 45. A couple of weeks ago, we considered verses 31 through 33 of this passage, which recorded the angel's announcement of the conception of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 36, we learn that the angel also said to Mary, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. Now, in some ways, these two women, Mary and Elizabeth, were very different. Mary was very young, and Elizabeth was quite old. Mary was engaged to be married, while Elizabeth had been married for a number of years. However, there are other ways in which these two women are exactly the same. It's clear that they were both God-fearing women who were waiting for the consolation of Israel. And they were both very well versed in the promises of God that had been given to their forefathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they longed for the coming of the Messiah. And Mary's immediate desire was to go and to see Elizabeth, her elderly relative. And she makes this journey, which was probably around 150 kilometers, depending on exactly where Elizabeth and Zacharias lived, but it was about 150 kilometers, and it would have taken her 3 or 4 days, and perhaps even as long as a week. And finally, she arrives at her home, and Elizabeth responds to Mary as she enters her home, saying, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And what is remarkable about this greeting is that Elizabeth knows that Mary's going to give birth to her Lord. And both Mary and Elizabeth knew that the child conceived in Mary's womb was truly the Son of God. And so these women, by God's grace, were going to be mothers of two very important people in God's redemptive plan. Elizabeth was going to give birth to the forerunner to Christ, John the Baptist. And Mary was going to give birth to the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they spent about 3 months together, probably until the birth of John the Baptist. And you can imagine the conversations they had with each other and the experiences that they were able to share of the angel's appearance, both to Mary and also to Zacharias. But after Elizabeth's greeting, Mary breaks forth into this song of praise. And we hope to consider that, verses 46 through 55 this morning under the theme, Mary's Song of Praise. We'll see how this is a song of rejoicing. And secondly, how this is a song of reflecting. So Mary begins her song of praise in this way. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. And here she expresses her great joy at the revelation of the Lord to her. And this is not a mere superficial joy, but it's a delight in God's unexpected goodness towards her personally, but even more so to the fact that the Messiah was going to come. You see, her expectations were so very low of herself, and therefore her joy was exceedingly great. Never had she imagined in her wildest dreams that she would be the mother of God's Son. For hundreds of years, Israel had been waiting for the coming of the Messiah. Since the days of Abraham, and yes, even before, to the days of Adam, Israel had been waiting for that seed that would crush the head of the serpent. And now the angel said to Mary, and now Elizabeth has acknowledged to Mary what the angel said is true, that Mary is to be the Messiah bearer, that the child would be born of her. And the central purpose of her life and her existence has now been revealed to her. And it is a position of significant influence and even status in God's redemptive work. Truly, a more blessed woman has never lived. And it reminds us, doesn't it, that we never really know what God has in store for us. We might consider ourselves to be very insignificant. Insignificant in the world or insignificant in the church. We might consider our position to be not a position of any type of status at all, that we just humbly carry about our work and do our task. But then suddenly God sometimes intervenes. And he presents us with a task which we would never have imagined doing in our entire lives. Such was the response of Mary. It was not even in her wildest dreams that she would give birth to the Lord Jesus Christ. But it reminds us, doesn't it, that God's plans for us are also largely unknown to us, aren't they? And God might have something incredible in store for us in his redemptive plan. It may be that it's simply that we are parents of our children and raise a godly seed. And the Lord has blessed that in the past. I personally know a family where there was a godly mother who prayed consistently for her children and for her sons. And at least 3 of her sons entered the gospel ministry because of her prayers. How significant she was in God's redemptive work, and she was in the lives of her own sons. We have no idea what the Lord has in store for us. Just like Mary was suddenly surprised at the angel Gabriel. And she's overwhelmed with the fact that God regarded her in her lowly state as a maidservant of the Lord. And she cannot comprehend why God would favor her in this truly magnificent way. And this is why she's overwhelmed with God's mercy towards her. She was a mere girl. In many ways, she was poorly connected, and she was even despised by the world. She came from Nazareth, and can anything good come out of Nazareth, was the saying. She had no worth or distinction in the world. She was not esteemed by men in any way. And no doubt she suffered scorn and ridicule when society heard that she was pregnant in a questionable way. She had the fear of the Lord. And the Lord exalted her. But the more the Lord exalted her, the more lowly she felt of herself. And notice that she's motivated to rejoice in the Lord because, she says, He is her Savior. My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. She's vividly aware of the fact that the Son of God who was conceived in her womb was to be her Savior, Christ the Lord. And she does not magnify herself, but she gives glory to God. You see, the greatest truth about Mary is not that she bore the Savior in her womb, but in her heart. And therefore, if you wish to give Mary honor, then honor the Lord in whom she rejoices. We should continually rejoice in God our Savior as the one who shows mercy towards us and looks upon us in our lowly state. You see, Mary's rejoicing flowed from the very depths of her soul and her spirit. My soul, she says, magnifies. My spirit has rejoiced. And so this joy that she expresses that comes off of her lips, it flows from this experience of joy in her soul and in her heart. And do you realize the significance of these statements? Mary rejoicing flowed from a humble and contrite heart before the Lord. And isn't this really the height of praise of God? You see, a proud or arrogant individual, he might praise God with their lips. And many do. But their hearts could still be far from God. They may be hypocrites in their praise of God because it does not flow from a heart which truly serves Him, but from a heart which thinks that it is deserving of God's mercy. And so it's important for us to ask what motivates us in our praise of God. Can we say with Mary, my soul magnifies the Lord? Does your spirit rejoice in God, your Savior? You see, Mary's conscious of the fact that she's a sinner under the judgment of God and only deserving of God's wrath. But rather than judgment, she experiences mercy. And this overwhelms her. She says, for He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. Do you see how a humble, contrite heart results in overwhelming gratitude and joy towards the Lord? The same is true today, isn't it? Just think of a child who's been raised with an attitude of entitlement, as many are being raised today. Many of the up-and-coming generation believe that they deserve so much. They believe that they are entitled to so much. And what is the result? Are they generally content and happy and thankful people? Do they show joy in their lives? Many are very unhappy and discontent and frustrated and angry and upset because they do not receive what they believe they are entitled to receive. And they have this attitude of entitlement which breeds this discontent and this frustration and this anger and this antagonism. You see, if we think we deserve mercy, if we think we deserve blessings in our life, if we think that we have a right to heaven, if we believe that we're entitled to be treated well by the Lord, then we have a life of misery and discontent at His dealings with us, don't we? But when we have a broken, humble, contrite heart, a sense of sin, an awareness that we deserve only the judgment of God, then we are overwhelmed, aren't we? We're overwhelmed with the smallest expression of His mercy towards us. And then we're even more overwhelmed in the fact that He's given His only begotten Son for us who are sinners. In fact, we will notice and rejoice in even the smallest mercy that God has shown to us. And this will stimulate us to praise, won't it? This will stimulate us all the more to praise God for that child who is born in Bethlehem and laid in a manger, because we realize we're undeserving of His mercy. And so our understanding of the gospel will not only loosen our tongues in the praise of God, but it will stir up our hearts in exalting Him as Savior. J.C. Ryle says, "Let us rise from our beds every morning with a deep conviction that we are debtors and that every day we have more mercies than we deserve." You see, this is where our joy then will begin, with the experiential knowledge that God is our Savior. You see, we can never find real joy in the things we possess, for at best they give us temporary joy, but we can only find true joy in God alone. To rejoice in God is impossible unless we know the love that God has shown to us in Christ, and that He will show it to us even to the very end. And we can rejoice then in the fact that we are adopted as His children, that we are heirs of eternal life. And until we realize these blessings that are given to us in the gospel, we never experience the overwhelming joy that Mary expresses in this song of praise. Now notice that Mary here expresses the full assurance of salvation. She has full assurance of faith in this song. And we must realize that ultimately we must strive for full assurance of faith, not for our sakes, but for God's sake. Because only then can we truly rejoice in the Lord. You see, to doubt His mercies and to question His love and to hesitate at His offer of salvation, these are not dispositions that render praise to God, are they? But they lead to questions and doubts concerning not just our faith or lack thereof, but of God Himself in His glory, in His majesty, in His attributes, and in His being. And we have no rest and no peace until we know in our hearts that God is gracious and merciful and slow to anger, and that He is our Savior. Mary's spirit rejoiced in the Lord. Her soul magnified Him because she knew Him for who He was. And so let us do the same. Let us sing a song of rejoicing. But not only is this a song of rejoicing, but it's also, as we see in the second place, a song of reflecting. Notice how Mary reflects repeatedly on God's past dealings with His people. She knows how God has dealt with His people in the past, and therefore she also knows how He's going to deal with her. And what becomes evident in this psalm is that she is reflecting primarily upon God's mighty power and His abounding mercy. She reflects on His might and His mercy, and she alludes to God's previous revelation. Her song is similar to many of the songs of the Old Testament. It sounds like a psalm written by King David. It sounds like the prayer of Hannah recorded for us in 1 Samuel 2. Hannah prays there, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I'll rejoice in your salvation. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumbled are girded with strength. And the hungry have ceased to hunger, and the Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up." Do you see the echoes of Hannah's prayer in Mary's song? She felt like Hannah in receiving the blessings that she had received from the mighty hand of God. And in addition to that, she quotes, either directly or alludes to, various passages from many of the books of the Old Testament. And in a certain sense, she pulls together the redemptive plan of God, and she unfolds it spontaneously in this song. It spontaneously flows from her heart to her lips in the praise of God. Now, how was she able to do this? There are scholars who question whether she was able to do this. And surely they thought that she had written this or learned this in some other way. But she was able to do this because the Word of God was written on her heart. She had sung the Psalms in her home and in the synagogue. She had memorized the Bible. She had hidden the Word of God in her heart. And she was able to use this language of the heavenly Canaan that she had stored in her heart. According to one writer, he says, "The style and language are those which would be natural to the speaker, as drawn from the storehouse of faith and piety, the sacred writings of her people, familiar to all and dear to pious souls by use in their devotions. So here the words as well as the thoughts are those of a high-souled Hebrew maiden of devout and meditative habit, whose mind has taken the tone of the scriptures in which she had been nurtured." She spoke, you see, out of the abundance of her heart she spoke. She was moved by the Holy Spirit to break forth into praise. And she chooses this language that she had learned even from her youth, the language of the Holy Scriptures. And so we are to strive, aren't we, to become more and more acquainted with the Word of God. We are to study it. We are to search it. We are to dig into it. We are to meditate on it. We are to dwell rich. It is to dwell richly in us. And we are to be familiar with the Bible, aren't we? So that we can respond to the circumstances we find ourselves in a way which is honoring and pleasing to the Lord. You see, it will supply us with the necessary knowledge and understanding of how to understand the events of the world, how to interact with the world itself, how to understand God's providence in our lives. As we learn the scriptures, as we study them, as we meditate upon them, as we hide them in our hearts, the result will be that we will be able also to respond, magnifying and praising the Lord in the context in which we find ourselves. And so Mary, you see, she understood the gospel. She possessed a personal knowledge of the way that God had dealt with his people in the past. And Mary models for us in this song of praise the importance of this personal understanding of God's dealings with his people. And so it is one of the ways we can deal with not only blessings, but also difficult circumstances in our lives. And you know, the reality is that we need this understanding of the scriptures also to deal with the blessings of our lives. The reality is that when we are blessed of God, that the tendency is to become complacent and presumptive and careless in the way that we live. When hardship comes, the result is that we often turn to the Lord and we cry out unto him and we plead with him that he will have mercy on us and he will spare us and he will show us his mercy. But when things are going well, then we often respond in a way of complacency and carelessness and presumption, don't we? And so we need the Word of God hidden in our hearts so that we would properly respond not only to times of difficulty and challenge, but to times of blessing. Mary here is responding to a time of blessing in her life. And it's important that we realize how God deals with his people, because then we will know how he will continue to deal with us as well. And that's why it's important for us to understand and know about the history as revealed in the scriptures, but also the history of the church. To look back and see how God has dealt with his people in the past, how he's spoken to them, how he's rescued them, how he's aided them, how he's reformed them, how he has taught them. And we need to be students of the Word of God and students of the history of the church and students of God's providence in our own lives. And only then will we be able to understand what is actually transpiring in the world. And you see, the result of this hiding God's Word in our hearts will effectively change us, won't it? So that we are then be able to live in a life which is pleasing to God and which gives glory and honor to God himself. And notice how she reflects on God's mercy. She says, "His mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation." She speaks of his power. He has scattered the proud in the imaginations of their heart. He has put down the mighty from their thrones, and he's exalted the lowly. She knows this personally because she has been exalted. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he sends away empty. Mary knows the story. She's learned the story of redemption. She's learned how God has dealt with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the past, and how he has dealt with his people from generation to generation. And that's what gives her hope. As she reads about the story of God's redemptive plan, she realizes that she's part of that story. And you see, we need to be part of that story as well. For God continues to deal with his people in the same way. While Mary had her part in the story of redemption, and that was unique. No one will ever have that place ever again. Nobody had it in the previous to her, and no one will have it after her. It was a unique place in God's redemptive plan. But in many ways, all of us are given a unique place in the redemptive plan of God's work here. And we're called to reflect. We're called to reflect back on how God has dealt with his people in the past, to reflect upon how God is dealing with us in the present. We're called to reflect upon the same gospel promises that God had given to Mary, the promises which she pleaded upon, the promises which she knew were fulfilled in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the promises which unfolded for her the significance of the coming Messiah. And we must reflect on them personally, because throughout this psalm, or this song rather, Mary has shown that she has a personal trust in God and his covenant promises to her. She confesses that at the end, he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. She's looking back to the promises that were given to Abraham, and she sees the conception of the child in her womb as a fulfillment of those promises which God had given to Abraham. And she knew that the Lord was fulfilling them in her life, and that the child who was conceived in her womb and who would be born was going to be the child who was her Savior. And she's overwhelmed with this truth. And her response is faith in God's promise, a confession of hope in God's dealings with her and with her people. And she had joy as she spoke of these things. Do you share? Do you share in that joy? You see, the only way to share in that joy is to know what she knew. You see, God has given us the truth in the Word of God that we might treasure these things in our heart. And in pondering them, we might connect our experiences to what God reveals in his word. And every time the Lord comes to us in his providence and in our lives, in working in our hearts, and as we ponder these things in our hearts, we see the hand of God working in us and unfolding them for us, so that we more and more, we look to the Lord for our help and our strength. We lay hold of the gospel promises. And we must grow in our grasp of them and in our faith in them. And we must walk in faith. You see, faith leans. It leans on the promises of the gospel. And these promises, they will bear all that we can lay upon them. And we must lean on these promises of the gospel confidently and with full assurance of faith. And then as we lean upon them, then the result will be a song of praise to our covenant God for his covenant faithfulness in fulfilling them, not only to Mary and to the nation of Israel of old, but also to us as his people. And that means this song would be very beautiful to you. But what Mary's saying here is only something we can say if we know this same Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe in the Savior? We must believe what God reveals in his word, and we must embrace it with a believing heart. As Mary embraced it, she committed to do so when she responded to the angel's message, "Let it be so," as a maidservant of the Lord. She accepted it as God's own word, as the authority of the word of God. She believed the message of the angel, and she knew that the Son of God, who was to be born of her, would be the Savior of the world. And we must confess and believe these same truths as she did to be saved. And that will result in a song of praise to God that flows from our very soul and from our very spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we come before you with thankfulness. Thankfulness for this particular passage of your word in which we could read of that song of praise that came from Mary's lips and flowed from her heart. And as we reflect upon it, we see how much she speaks of your tender mercies, of your almighty power, and how that you are a God who accomplishes your will, and you will finish the work that you have begun. Lord, you have given promises in the Old Testament of the coming of the Messiah, and we know that the Messiah has come, and that he has not only been born in Bethlehem and laid in a manger, but he suffered and died on the cross at Calvary. And so he has paid the price for our sins. And now we know that he's risen from the dead and he's ascended into heaven. And the promise still awaits us that he will return from heaven and come here to this earth and take unto himself the people whom he has chosen from everlasting before the foundation of the world. And he has chosen to everlasting life. And Lord, as we reflect upon these promises, we realize that there is much reason for praise and glory of your name. And as we reflect upon it and we meditate upon your truth, we pray that we be so firmly grounded in it that we too would, with full assurance of faith, proclaim your praise and the glory of your name, and that you are the one who delivers us as a sinful people from our sins and redeems us from that destruction which awaited us, setting us free to praise and glorify you, our God. Bless your word to us also in this afternoon hour, and forgive our sins even in worship, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.